On the Health, Food, and Restaurant Work. 1906. Typed July 7, 1910. When conducted in such a manner that the gospel of Christ is brought to the attention of the people, the health food work can be profitably engaged in. But I lift my voice in warning against efforts that accomplish nothing more than the production of foods to supply the physical needs. It is a serious mistake to employ so much time and so much of the talents of men and women in manufacturing foods while no special effort is made at the same time to supply the multitudes with the bread of life. Great dangers attend a work that has not for its object the revelation of the way of eternal life. There are two classes of angels at work in our world. The good angels are constantly seeking to draw souls to Christ. The evil angels are diligently at work sowing seeds of unbelief in the soil of the human heart. Where are the men and the women who are earnestly seeking to counterwork Satan's efforts to infuse into human minds unholy thoughts? What is being done by those engaged in the food business to warn the people who are led captive by the enemy? Satan is constantly at work to educate minds in unbelief. Where are the workers sowing the seeds of truth that will spring up unto eternal life? Christ has given us His words as a light to those who are in darkness, to lead them to become partakers of the divine nature, to kindle in their hearts a desire for the bread of eternal life. Christ reveals Himself as the living bread which came down from heaven. He promises eternal life to those who eat His flesh and drink His blood. The heavenly intelligences have been watching our restaurants to see what they are accomplishing in the dissemination of the truth of heavenly origin. The words of Christ are spirit and life. Eternal life is promised to all who will repent and be converted. Let the workers in our restaurants secure tracts and papers filled with the precious messages of warning and pure spiritual food. Place these in the hands of those who come to eat at the tables. It is your duty to keep before the people, with whom you are brought in contact, the fact that God rules and reigns, and that the study of His words is important. Every action is passing in review before God. When the importance of the restaurant work has been presented to me, it has not been outlined that hygienic restaurants would be the means of making large sums of money. They are to be places where the truth will be presented by word of mouth and by the distribution of literature treating upon the coming of Christ and of the message for this time. The restaurant work should be made a means in the purpose of God to prepare a people to stand in the day of judgment. The work of satisfying the hunger of the body is to be made only a means to this great end. Evangelistic work is to be done, and literature should be sold and given away. Let the subject of temperance be made prominent. The patrons of our restaurants should be warned that the great day of God's wrath is near, that it hasteth greatly. As the judgments of God fall upon the cities, let this be sounded as a note of warning. Simplicity in habits and practices should be studied. Let no one, in these days of peril, neglect prayer. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. Listen not to the plausible fictions of Satan. The Lord Jesus chooses men and calls them to follow Him. He says to all, "If you will obey My words, which are spirit and life, you may be a partaker of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. But if you choose to enter into fellowship with the world, to live as they live, to enter with them into their schemes, and to misrepresent in life practice the truth of God, you may receive warnings. But if these warnings are not heeded, then you have given yourself over to the influence of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Many who profess to accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb refuse to accept the wedding garment. In the Gospel according to Matthew we read, "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Then went the Pharisees, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar, or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled, and left him, and went their way. Matthew 22, verse 11 to 22. By means of their questioning, the Pharisees thought that they might induce Jesus to say something that would incriminate him. If he had said that it was not lawful to pay tribute to Caesar, they would have brought accusation against him before the Romans as an enemy to the civil authority. If, on the other hand, he had taken the position that it was right to pay tribute, they would have accused him to the elders as one who was opposed to the law of God. But Christ could read their hearts. He read their wicked purposes. He was not deceived by their words of flattery and their effort to commend him so decidedly. So today, Christ understands the true character of every man. Whatever their profession, Christ will write in His book the true motives of all. No cover of pretentious righteousness can deceive Him. Our ministering brethren must be constant learners of Christ. They need the wisdom that He can give them in meeting the issues that come to them. John beheld four angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. These symbols are illustrative of the troubles that will come upon the earth, but that the angels of God have been mercifully holding back until the servants of God should be sealed in their foreheads. Winds and earthquakes and tempests are not capricious outbreaks of unregulated mechanical forces. All nature is in the fullest sense under the control of physical law. It is the expression of a higher will. He holdeth the winds in his fists. He gathereth the waters in the hollow of his hands. He maketh the clouds his chariot. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king for ever. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Psalm 104, verse 3. 29:10. Let not human wisdom dethrone and defy the great sovereign of the universe. He that made the world, and all things that are therein, He is the sustainer. Acts 17, verse 24. All nature is but the working out of the laws which He has made, a manifestation of His sovereign will.